Time now to update Maine's political pulse. I'm Erwin Gratz. This year's national campaign was convulsed over the weekend by the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, giving President Trump a chance to cement a conservative majority on the court, regardless of the outcome of the election. And it introduced a new issue into the Senate race between Republican incumbent Susan Collins, Democrat Sarah Gideon, and Independents Lisa Savage and Max Lynn. Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler, joins us to discuss how this new political fight may affect the Senate campaign. Steve, Collins took a lot of heat during the last Supreme Court confirmation struggle for her vote to confirm Justice Brett Kavanaugh following allegations against the justice of sexual misconduct. How does that set the stage for Collins now?
Yeah, I mean, Erwin, Collins is already in the electoral fight of her life because, in part, of the Kavanaugh vote. And now it's going to only intensify. And I think you're going to see that beginning this week. I mean, you can almost draw a straight line from the Kavanaugh vote to Collins' decline in popularity, which is one reason she's in trouble now, frankly. I mean, the polls we've seen have shown Sarah Gideon, her Democratic challenger, either neck and neck with her or with a lead. And the Kavanaugh vote's not the only reason. I mean, the Supreme Court is now the epicenter for several fights that were already surfacing in this hotly contested U.S. Senate race. One of them was abortion rights. The other is health care. And as you've heard all over the weekend, and I'm sure you're going to hear all through this week, both of those issues loom over this entire confirmation process and the election. And remember, the Supreme Court will hear a case that could invalidate the entire Affordable Care Act shortly after the election. That's been an issue in this campaign. The reason why it's been an issue is that that court challenge was made possible by the 2017 GOP tax overhaul that Collins helped pass. And liberal groups and Democratic challenger Gideon have been bringing it up for over a year now. Now the stakes are real and even higher with the prospect of a 6-3 conservative court. But as for the abortion issue, Erwin, that's also front and center in this campaign. And even before the passing of Bader Ginsburg, Democrats and Gideon were hammering Collins for voting to confirm conservative judges on the lower courts and on the Supreme Court. So all of those issues were defining this campaign. Now with a nasty confirmation fight looming, it's a lot more present and a lot more real.
There have been calls to hold the confirmation process, at least until after the November election. What is Collins saying about that?
Collins over the weekend released a statement saying that she believes President Trump has the constitutional duty and authority to choose a nominee and that she supports the initiation of the confirmation process in the Senate Judiciary Committee. But she also says that the nomination should be decided by whoever wins the presidency on November 3rd. That's led some to say that Collins will oppose Trump's pick, but she's not really saying that. She's saying that the next president should pick the nominee. She doesn't say what she'll do if the Senate under Mitch McConnell fast-tracks the whole process. And the Republicans have an incentive to do just that. I mean, they're in danger of losing control of the Senate and the presidency. We don't know what Collins will do in that scenario. She hasn't said, and she also hasn't said, what she'll do if there's a confirmation vote in the lame duck session after the election.
Now, she's voted for confirming all six Supreme Court justice nominees she's heard in the past. What does that tell us about her likely approach to a new nominee?
You've seen the movie before with Collins. She'll meet with a nominee, monitor the Judiciary Committee hearings, and do what she normally does in terms of evaluating the person's jurisprudence. The question is whether she'll confirm the nominee in this particular scenario, which has been described by Democrats as an outright power grab by Republicans. Remember, Republicans in 2016 blocked the nomination of Merrick Garland by President Obama because it was in an election year. They're reversing their stance this year, and with less than 2 months left before the election, that's going to hover over all of this. They have the power, and they're going to use it, it looks like, regardless of what they said in 2016. The question is whether Collins will go along with it this time.
Sounds like it's almost a no-win proposition for Collins. This is not a good thing to happen at this stage of the campaign for her.
For her perspective, it's probably one of the worst things that could happen. I mean, look, she was already in the fight of her life. This will make it much harder. And it plays right into the themes that were already had her in trouble: abortion, health care, even her support for Mitch McConnell as majority leader. I would expect you're going to hear a lot more about that, given the 180 he's done on whether or not we should even be having this nomination in an election year. Oh, and the other thing, too, is that we often think about this in terms of you know, how independents and the left will view Collins. I mean, you could argue that she may have lost a lot of those people already. And that's the people on the right that she needs to worry about right now. I mean, just this morning, we had President Trump address her statement and basically say that that the people are not going to like what she said about waiting till after the election.
And I think that Susan Collins is going to be hurt very badly. Her people aren't going to take this. People are not going to take it.
Collins has lost a lot of her typical coalition on the center left. She can't afford to lose the right.
Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler. There is more Political Pulse intelligence on our podcast and also on Steve's political podcast newsletter. Both of them are available at mainepublic.org, our website. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Erwin Gratz.